We are picking up. It's been about a month since I've actually been here on a Thursday night. I've been staying home. We've had some stuff to do around the house, and so figured Thursday night's a really good night to do that. So, but we were out of town. It's funny. We went to on vacation. We went to four different churches, and the first three churches we went to, the pastor was on vacation. So it's like, you know, we went to Brother Pichardo's church, and he was on vacation. He was out of town, and then we went to a church in Portland. The pastor was out of town, and then we went to a church Sunday night in Seattle, and the pastor was out of town. I'm thinking, what are all these pastors doing? And I was thinking, oh, wait a minute, I'm out of town too. So, but we had a great time, and so I've been gone. I was at the Filipino family camp one other time, I think, I don't know, but so we're going to pick up our little series we're finishing that we're doing through the summer on discipleship. And then after we finish this in a couple weeks, we'll go back to our study in Proverbs. We basically barely scratched the surface. We were talking about the different levels of spiritual growth, the different levels of spiritual growth. And we'll look at these same verses tonight. That's not why they're not on the front end of your bulletin, but the verses about discipleship there. And we saw that Jesus didn't make discipleship easy. Now, we have a tendency to try in our country, in our time, to make Christianity easy. We think that the easier we make, and we're not trying to make it hard. Don't take that wrong. But we're trying to dumb down Christianity, thinking everybody will jump on board. But Jesus said, listen, if you're gonna really be one of my, the word everybody likes to use, followers or disciples, then there's some things that you have to do. And if you don't do that, you can't be my disciple. That deeper relationship. And so there are requirements. And Jesus gave some. They were pretty tough. It wasn't for the faint of heart. And it wasn't for someone that just like, well, you know, I want to be who I am and I'll just add Jesus to it. That doesn't work. And Jesus wants us. Now, let me say this. You don't get there overnight. Okay? You don't get saved and the next day you're this. No. It takes growth. And so don't be discouraged or down about it. That's one of the reasons we're actually going through this. The Christian life and the life of being a disciple or discipleship is a life of growth. We are constantly to become more of what God wants us to be or who God wants us to be. And so as long as we're on that path, you just want to be on that path and you want to be going forward. If you're doing that, that's fine. There'll be some hiccups along the way, but when you have a hiccup and you're going the right direction, you get up, you fix the hiccup, and you go forward again. Okay? That's where you're at. Part of growth is understanding where you are at and what it takes to get to the next level. Now, when it comes to your relationship as a Christian and in our church and some of the things we do, we've laid out the steps very simply here. That's not exhaustive in Christianity, but that's what we've laid out, and we've went over that before. But we're looking at different levels. As we grow, there's different pictures the Bible gives to a Christian, and if you look at them, they kind of make sense and go in a progression. And so that's what we have been looking at. It's important for us to understand these levels because you say, well, I've kind of progressed, and maybe you're one of the ones that are at the top level we'll get to in a couple weeks. You need to understand the other levels because if you don't understand that, then you're going to have a hard time maybe with some newer Christians that come in and aren't at the same level you're at. They're at the level that God has them at, and they're going to act a certain way. And you, if you've been here, you understand that. Sometimes when you have a baby around and the babies say, man, that baby's irritating or the baby's doing this. No, the baby is acting like a baby. That's how babies act, as long as they're not being brats and spoiled. But that's their maturity level. That's where they're at. They're acting where they are at. And so let's not get frustrated. And we can get frustrated with each other if we don't understand that. And by the way, a good church, and I think ours is a good church, you should have people at every single level. Okay? We don't want a church that's just a bunch of mature Christians. Now, I want mature Christians. But I don't want a church of mature Christians because you know what that says? It says you're not reaching anybody. You know, if we come in here on Sunday morning and these all look like mature Christians. There's people that look like everything because we're all different. People are new. And so that's what we want, and we need to understand that. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, that verse there. By the way, if you don't grow in your maturity level as a Christian, you're going to have a trouble as you get more into the Bible and some of the harder things, applying and making these things a part of your life, because you're not growing to that point where you can take that and make it a part of your life. Hebrews 5:12 says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again what is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Now they're being they're not being commended. They're actually being not condemned. That's a strong word, but I'll use it for the fact that they were age wise as a Christian. They ought to be up here maturity wise, but their maturity level didn't match their length of being a Christian, I guess is the best way to put it. So you ought to be here by now. You've been a Christian long enough, but you're still down here. Hey, you need to get up to this level. You can't even understand the deeper things of God. What is a couple of things as we just blow through this 2 or 3 minutes of review, and then we'll get into the new point. What is spiritual maturity? There's many things, but I like this one. True spiritual maturity is the ability to recognize what is right and what is wrong. Now, he got on them in verse 12. Look at verse 13. "For everyone that useth milk," in other words, you're still kind of a baby Christian, and it's the idea of how a child eats. A baby uses milk and formula. You can't feed it steak or any of the other stuff. They'll choke. But as they grow, they can get meat. So he's using that analogy. He goes, for everyone that useth milk, you're still using milk. You're still at the baby part aspects of Christianity, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The sign of immaturity in Christians in our country is we don't think anything's wrong. And the things that are right, we sense them as wrong or unimportant. By the way, and that is filtered down to our society. There is nothing right or wrong in society anymore, and I'm not harping on it, but it's ridiculous. If somebody says something, you know, if somebody got up and said, "Bruce Jenner's not a girl, he's a guy," that's controversial. It's not controversial, he's a guy. When I was in one of the churches, someone mentioned that some place had an award for most courageous individual of the year. Bruce Jenner got it. I'm sorry, Caitlin, or whatever it wants to be called. And second place was some war hero. You've got to be kidding me. Now, I'm not, he has some issues that I think someone could have helped him with. I think if he would have known the Lord, he could have worked through some of these things. But what I'm saying is just to get up and say, "You know what, excuse me, sir, I know you're struggling here, but that's not the path to go." We're like, "What? What's wrong with you? Are you a caveman?" And that's just where we're at. But Christians are to the point now where we can't discern right and evil. Good and bad. What's right? What does God say is right? What am I supposed to say? What is wrong? And I'm not saying let's be unloving. We should never be unloving. But we ought to know what's right and wrong and just lovingly stand for it. That's the whole point. Let me just review here. And I'm just going to mention them. The first level of spiritual growth, as mentioned many times, we've already mentioned, is a babe. Is a babe. And there's many things there, but I'll just mention a babe is one that needs to be fed. You can look at it. We're not going to look. And nourish. Babies need to eat so they can grow. So their main goal for a baby Christian is to start on that path of growth. Okay? Baby Christian comes into church and there's some issues there, and you know they're struggling in some areas in your life. That's normal. I was struggling in a lot of areas of my life when I was a new Christian. It took me a while to get over those things. I had to get on that path and start growing and being nourished. Number two, a child. A child is one who needs to be trained. As we get a little older, we get into that training part where we're learning things and being trained how we're supposed to do things and right and wrong. We said a lot more about it. The main goal for his child is learning the fear of the Lord. Number three, and this is the last time we spoke, which is about a month ago, a son. A son. A son is one who is in the likeness of his father. There's more of a relationship there. Okay? I think some of the points are there. They embrace adulthood. They accept punishment. They accept the father's leading. They are willing to separate for relationship, and they are to receive their father's words. The spiritual goal is to demonstrate God's righteousness in his life. We just talked much about how children are a lot like their parents. They mimic their parents. It's funny, sometimes when there's a breach in a relationship between a father or a son or mother, daughter, whatever, growing up, you know, the son doesn't have a good relationship with father, he'll grow up and say, you know, I'm never going to be like my father. And you know what inevitably happens? They're like dad, right? That happens. Hopefully it's a good thing, guys. All right, here we go. This is the new one. The next level is disciple, a disciple. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, the verses there. Then said Jesus unto the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Discipleship, and there's some requirements and some other things we've looked at in the past. But one of the things is God's word. A disciple, I think you have a little bullet point there, is one who embraces the instruction given to him and makes it his rule of conduct. Disciple is one who embraces the instruction given to him and makes it his rule of conduct. In other words, a disciple is wanting to learn so he can put it into practice in his life. It's not just a bunch of arbitrary instructions or facts. He's learning things that are going to be what he is in his life. As Christians, we are ultimately a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tells us that God's desire for us is to be conformed into the image of his Son. Hopefully, as we grow in our faith, we, in our actions, are becoming more like Jesus Christ. In other words, our actions in life are more like the actions Jesus Christ would have had if he were on this earth. Well, how do I know how Jesus Christ would react? Jesus Christ was the Word of God made flesh. He would have done everything the Bible says. He's the only one that was perfect. Now, are you ever going to be perfect? No. Am I ever going to be perfect? No. But we can strive. We can strive to be the best we can be. And I'm not, that's a poster for one of the militaries. So a disciple, if he's trying to embrace the instruction given to him and make it his rule of conduct, he's more than just a learner. There's much we need to learn from this book. Many facts we need to lead. We need to understand, because some of the facts we learn help us to understand the principles that are in there. And the more of the Bible we learn overall, the more we see how it all fits together. And as we see how it all fits together, it gives us greater understanding so we can understand the principles that are in there so that we can put those principles into action in our life. We're not just looking for information. A disciple is looking for transformation. Okay? That's why the Bible tells us knowledge puffeth up. Charity, things done out of love, edifieth. Makes me have a heart change in how I react with others. Okay? Knowledge is important, but knowledge is to lead us to a deeper fear of the Lord, not just so we know a bunch of facts. You could know a bunch of facts, but if you can't put those facts into action, into life, they're not actionable, then what is the purpose? We're looking for transformation. Information that leads us to changes. And jokingly here, but my daughter found a book. It's a book about cleaning and decluttering. I don't remember the name. What was the name of the book? Declutter Your Life or something? All I know is she brought it home. I found this book, and it's a bunch of little chapters on declutter. She goes, you want to read it? I'm like, no, you read it, you declutter, amen? And she goes, like, man, we got to read this as a family. I said, oh, we'll have devotions out of it, okay? You know, turn to chapter 43, mopping the floor, okay? Let's all get edified. And she's been reading that stuff, and I'll say this, it works. I mean, everything in the house is organized. Now, you understand, and I think I've said it publicly, I don't like when the garage gets messy. Now, we have a small garage. That's the only thing I miss in my house. I wish I had a two-car garage. We have one. Washing machine, freezer, and a bunch of other junk in there. And the girl, you know, we're busy at our house, so stuff gets thrown in there. So, like, I'm like, I won't go in there. I'm like, oh, I said, if I go in there, I'm going to get mad. So you guys go in there. They cleaned it. It's decluttered. I'm like, I can see the floor. I'm like, revival has taken place. One of us jokingly said, man, I wish the Bible had that much effect on Hannah's life as that declutter book did. She would be Charles Spurgeon. Okay. But that's facetious, but isn't that the point of reading something and learning? The point of learning something isn't to say, hey, it says here that, you know, everything you put in your drawer should be in order. And I like it because that's me. Now, you go to the drawers in my house, and I won't be very specific because I don't want to be specific. But, you know, I know what's in the top drawer, okay? The top drawer are socks, and they're in three categories, okay? And they're, you know, that's me. If you go to the second drawer, I think there's certain type of shirts. Third drawer is this, and we won't tell you what's in the fourth and fifth drawer. But they're organized, folded, and they're put in the right spot. That's how I like it. Other members of my family, and I won't go any farther than that, not so much. But they know where they're at. You know, it's like, that's a mess. I got a headache. It's like, no, I got it. Fourth one under the third. And it's like, whatever, that works. But isn't that what the Bible should really be doing in our life? We're looking in the Bible for information. And as we go on this path of information and we hear things and it's like, that's good, that helps us to put that into practice in our lives. That's the only way it's ever going to be effective. So don't just look for information. Now get the information. Understand it. If we have Bible trivia, know the answers. But what good does it know you who Abraham's wife is if your life is a mess? Okay? So we want to learn those things. The goal is transformation. That's what we want to do. Disciples disciplined enough to incorporate the instructions into daily living. You know, well, look, they're not just satisfied with being part of a church group. They're not just satisfied with just being in the family of God. They want something deeper. They want to keep going forward, and things are happening in their life. Remember this, a disciple is not a title of who one is. It's a description of how one lives. I don't know if that's in your paper or not. It's not a title. I've reached level 4. I'm a disciple. It's not a title. By the way, I'm not really much for titles. When someone has a title, that title ought to be because they're doing something. Are you with me? Okay. It's what we do. A disciple is how we try to live our lives. Now, let me give you some characteristics of this level in the 15 minutes we have left. Letter A, they will experience rejection. We could give many verses. You know, there's a verse, I think, in Peter, they that live godly will suffer persecution. Matthew 10:14, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of his house of that city, shake off the dust of your feet. As he sent the disciples out, he said, go out and preach the message. It's like, oh, wow, we've got a wonderful message. It's good news. He says, not everybody's going to accept it. And there's other things. Men will revile you. You can go verse by verse by verse. Not everybody is excited about the truths of Christianity. And as this world goes on, and if you keep up with anything, and maybe I get the wrong emails, and it ruins my day, but Christians are being forced to shut up. You know, this whole thing about the bakeries and people that don't want to be a part, own a business, and don't want to be a part of a homosexual marriage. They're trying to go to court. There was a person in Oregon, they were fined over $100,000 and told that they could not discuss their faith about the issue. It's a constitutional issue, people. There was another guy, he went to a store, and he said, I want you to make a cake. And he wanted the cake to be anti-homosexual marriage. Now, he was doing it for a reason. He wasn't being mean. And the guy at the bakery said, you know what, I just don't believe that's right. I don't believe like that, so I'm not going to bake your cake. So this Christian took him to court. The court came back and said, the baker has a right, because he doesn't believe like you about that, not to bake the cake. And the guy who took him to court said, I agree with you. He goes, the point wasn't I wanted to make him bake me a cake. The point is, how come if we disagree with their marriage and we just don't want to be a part of it, why is that a problem? It's not just about freedom, people. It's about shutting Christians up. They're trying to shut us up. Let's not be mean. And they'll come after us. There have been, and it's not stuck, but I listened to CLA and David Gibbs and Soul Winning, and you can't pass out tracts in this park. Now, he'll go talk to them, and it's a constitutional thing. We can do it. But they're getting a little bolder. It's getting to the point where we're so used to them telling us things like that that we just kind of throw our hands up. But, you know, it may come to the point in our country where we're going to be persecuted just for being a Christian. But we need to lovingly stand up for what is right and still preach the gospel. But we don't like that. What we want is we're trying to make it so palatable and water it down. We don't want rejection, so we back off. By the way, let me say this, and don't take this wrong. I'll before you throw me under the bus for what I'm going to say. You know, being nice doesn't cut it. And what I mean by that, I don't mean being mean. But I'm saying what we've done as Christians is we'll say, well, you know what? I don't want to offend somebody with what I believe, so I won't say anything and I'll be nice and I'll just be quiet. When you do that, they just push you back farther. Amen. Do you understand what I mean by that? Yes. So let's just lovingly say, you know, I believe what the Bible says, and the Bible says that. You know, we're supposed to live this way or do this certain thing. I read somewhere, I got an article somewhere, someone said that the trend in churches now, they don't want to hire staff members, pastoral staff that are a little bit older. Guys that are out in 40s and 50s, they're finding it harder if they're transitioning to another staff to get a job because now they want all the young guys. Now let me say this. Say, why is that true? I'll tell you one reason it's true, because we like the younger kids. They kind of present Christianity as cool. Christianity is cool. If someone's going to keep the standards and the beliefs of the Bible on track, it's going to be some of the older ones. You know, when I was younger, I'd hear guys, you know, when I was in Bible college, I remember back 40 years, 50 years ago, I'm like, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's good. Now, I'm not that old. What are you laughing at? Whatever. We'll get a class for you later. But I mean, 30-something years ago was different. You know, people we would consider in their beliefs a little liberal had higher beliefs than some people that say that they believe the Bible. Yeah. By the way, young people, Christianity doesn't have to be cool. Let's not bring Jesus down to our level. Okay? Now, we're not trying. Now, I know some people, their goal in life is to make people mad at them. Where's that? If someone gets upset for us with what we believe, it shouldn't be for how we behave. It shouldn't be for our attitude and being rude and being mean-spirited and hate. None of that. They ought to just not like. And by the way, if they don't like us like that, it's because it's convicting to their lifestyle. But we can't help anybody if we don't have anything pure and right to give them. And so let's not change it. Okay? And I understand, none of us want to be rejected. I don't want to go out door knocking and someone say, to get to the point where if you're a Christian, no one wants to talk to you. I don't want that. But, you know, if they're just doing that because society has told them Christians are bad or what, there's not much we can do about it. But we can still be loving and kind and share the truth. Those two are not mutually exclusive. Think of Daniel. Look at this. If you say, well, I don't really want to buy into this rejection thing. I want to be loved, and I want to be a Joel Osteen type where everything's good and everybody loves me. Well, if it's because you don't believe anything, then you're not, how are you going to help somebody? Look at Jesus. Hebrews 2, 12, 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand at the throne of God. For considered him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. And Jesus was called a lot of things. He was called an illegitimate son. When he told them that he was God in the flesh, they took up stones to stone him. All he was doing was teaching the truth. Now, you say, how, look, Daniel, think of Daniel, taken as a young, youngster, maybe late teens, early 20s, whatever, taken into a wicked kingdom. And yet he loved God. He didn't back down on what he believed. And he ended up being in charge for, I think, what, under three different rulers? Three different. Why? You can do right. You can believe right. And when it came to it, if it's like, listen, you either do this or you go to the lion's den, he said, well, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. If it means I go to the lion's den, I'll go. So we might face some persecution. Letter B. What's another trait of a disciple? God's word lives in them. We looked a little at this at the beginning. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. We read the verse earlier that related discipleship to the word of God. What does that mean? Abide. That means dwell, to live. God's word needs to live inside of a disciple. You see, for a disciple, the word of God is not a book he carries. It's not an app on a phone or an iPad or his computer. It's something he seeks to make a part of him or her. He wants it to be living, dwelling inside of him. That's what a disciple does. Say, well, I come to church, you're here tonight, so you're obviously on a higher level. And I have a Bible and I carry it, but is there more to it than that? There needs to be a lot more to it. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Dwell, living within. How do you live your life? Where do you get the pattern from? Well, you know, I watch how other people live, and if that's the trend, that's kind of, I want to get in on it. How do you make your decision? Well, you know, what do my peers do? What should be the underlying source? What does God's word say? Does God speak to this? Now, I'm faced with these decisions. You know, your boss comes to you at work. Now, this is an easy one, but it's by way of illustration. Your boss comes and says, hey, I want you to lie for me. I want you to be deceitful about something. That's an easy one. Well, I'll lose my job. No. What would the Bible tell us to do? Be honest. Don't ruin your character for him or her. So that's how we need to do it. Word of God dwells inside of us. Remember this, God's will never violate God's will. So I just feel God wants me to do this, okay? That's great. I've heard people tell me all kinds. I'm going to do this. I think I prayed about it. Well, that's fine. But if God's word speaks to it, you don't need to pray about it. You know, should I tell this unsaved person about the love of God? Well, the Bible tells you you're supposed to, so there's no wrong decision there. You don't have to pray about that. And if I'm a Christian and I meet someone who's not a Christian, they don't know God, should I join in a relationship with them? Court them? Date them? No, the Bible's pretty clear about that. I don't need to pray about it. But I prayed, and I feel like he's the one for me. Now, he's not saved. No, the Bible's pretty clear about that. So we don't need to pray about that one, okay? Let God's word make your decisions in life. Letter C. They bear spiritual fruit in their lives. They bear, going down again through John chapter 15 in that portion. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. It's impossible to be a disciple without it being noticeable, right? What does it say in the book of Acts? And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They saw the way the disciples were and say, wow, you know, I don't know a lot about these guys, but I know one thing, by the way they're living, they've been with Jesus. See, there's fruit in our life. If we're having a vital living relationship with God, the natural outflow of that will be fruit. If you plant up, I don't know if these are real up here. Yeah, I think they are. If we don't water them, they'll die. And hopefully when we water them, guys, they don't get on the carpet. So that'll be a bad thing too. But if you don't water it, they die. But if you water them and they're in their proper dirt and they have the proper space and all the parameters are right and everything's being done correctly, what would you expect? You would expect them to grow. That's what you expect of a disciple. If God's word's dwelling in him and he's doing the other things and he's having that vital relationship with God, naturally there's going to be some outward evidence of that in their life. And that's born because of a healthy relationship with Christ. Look at John 15:5, a few verses before that. I am the vine, Christ said, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, lives in me, dwells with me, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. Now, fruit is seen, I believe, two ways. Fruit is seen in who we help for the Lord. Maybe someone you share the gospel with and they get saved. Fruit's also seen in the traits which we possess in our life. The fruit of the Spirit, you see that right there. We won't read it, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So how do these are pretty hard to do sometimes. Long-suffering, patience, all that stuff. How does that happen? Well, I know this. It'll happen a lot more in our life if we're a disciple and we're growing in our faith. That'll be fruit. We don't have to manufacture our own because we're spending time in God's word and his Spirit's having free reign in our life to help produce that in our life. So there'll be fruit in your life. A fruitful Christian is a happy disciple. A fruitful Christian is a healthy disciple. By the way, that's one of the reasons some people fear selling out to God and really getting serious about God. You know why? They know that will mean changes. Maybe some of you in here say, you know, I'm kind of backed off a little and I don't want to really go, because you understand what that means. That means as you grow as a disciple, there's going to be changes you're going to have to make. You're going to learn about these things and you're going to be faced with a decision. Am I going to do it or not? And sometimes that scares us. And letter D, they accept the requirements of discipleship. If any man come unto me and hate not his father, his mother, and we looked at this the first week several months ago, and mother and wife and children, brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Likewise, whosoever of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be thy disciple. We just tell everybody, just come, follow Jesus. And I want everybody to come and follow Jesus, but he says to be a disciple, there are some things you got to do or you can't be my disciple. Because as we mentioned earlier, it's not a title, it's actions. So we have to accept it. More than just following, it doesn't happen automatically. What is the spiritual goal? Look at that, I think that's on your sheet. We're just about done. The spiritual goal is to know God's truth and experience freedom in life. That was from the verse we read, the very beginning. The truth shall make you free. You see, we think freedom comes by doing our own thing, but freedom comes by learning God's truth and putting ourselves in subjection to God's truth and doing what it says. That makes us free. Amen. Not doing your own thing. Not doing my own thing. Not following my own path. It's following his path. It's only when I submit myself to what he's telling me to do that I really experience freedom. Because now I'm free to do the things that are right, but when I get outside of that, there's all the penalties. There's all the things that are very hurtful. Now, let me give you, you can read the verses there. Let me just briefly go through these questions. We're done. So every time we get done, we want to reflect. What standards or convictions have you adopted in your life? If you're a Christian, now the whole Christian life isn't about standards and convictions. It's about a relationship with God. But that relationship does come with some standards and some convictions. Bruce and Sarah on Saturday will enter a new relationship. Good one. Okay? But you know what? When they say, I do, that brings some standards and convictions. What's the convict? Death do us part. Now, you can't speed that process up, but just eat McDonald's. That'll take care of the whole thing right there. You can't, you're done. Nobody else. You say, oh, that's restrictive. No, it's freedom. Freedom to have a great relationship and a great marriage. A freedom to experience in the marriage everything God wants you to experience. As long as you keep the things that are hurtful out of it. Have you ever faced any form of rejection because of your belief in Christ? And it doesn't even have to be hardcore. Where this isn't some communist country yet. But, you know, you're at work and they call you the hallelujah guy, or they call you this, or, oh, you're the Bible thumper, you know. Look, don't be rude or be mean. Don't get upset about it, okay? They don't know any better. But they've noticed you're a Christian. Do you have a living relationship with God's Word? How's God's Word in your life? You're reading through it this year, okay? Is it a daily thing for you? You seek to get something out of it. Do you look to God's Word when making a decision? Well, I just want to search my heart and see how I feel. Why did you do that? Because I had a friend that did this, and I think that it'll work out. What does God say? God knows quite a bit. And I know this, the times in my life when I haven't followed what God says, it's like, should have followed what God says. What fruit is evidence in your life that you're a disciple? Say, I think I'm at the disciple level. Is there evidence? Is there fruit in your life? Are you concerned with others? Have you grown in your faith? Was there areas you struggled with or you had weaknesses? And it's like, man, I used to get upset about everything at the drop of a hat, and now I'm more patient. Hey, the fruit of the Spirit's coming in. People used to be an irritation. Now I love people. I'm experiencing joy. Okay? I'm long-suffering. I put up with more than I used to. Whatever. Is there evidence there? Then the last thing. Have you ever made the decision that you will be a disciple? That's really the key. You will not be a disciple unless you decide that you want to be a disciple and you're willing to follow Jesus Christ and what he says. Follower of Christ. Okay. Well, if we're going to follow him, then that means he's going to lay out the requirements. He's going to lay out the guidelines. He's going to give us the path. Disciple. Let's pray.